Amen. Thank you very much, Christopher. Thank you to our wonderful band. Great worship. Excellent. Thank you. Last year, you probably remember, we had a sort of series of sermons on new wine values, topics like inspiring worship, anointed leadership, Bible-based teaching, personal discipleship, and so on. And you may remember that the very moment that I'd worked it all out and prepared this series beautifully, New Wine changed their values on the website, bless them. So I was really grateful to them. But I took a deep breath and I thought, okay, we've got a second series then, haven't we? That's what we're doing at the moment. And the truth is, of course, the spirit of New Wine's values hasn't changed at all. Only the list expressing them and the way they're put has changed. And these ones are a little bit more sort of academic, balancing two qualities against each other in creative tension. The pair of values for this week is gracious and truthful. Now, I know that sounds a little bit abstract and conceptual. So what I'm going to do is, with each sermon, with each pair of values, I'm going to think about what that meant in the life of Jesus, how it actually worked out in his life, and also what that might mean in our lives, how it might actually work out for us. John Coles from New Wine explains it like this: gracious and truthful. What that means is we want to be kind and generous in the way that we think and speak about others, whether they agree with us or disagree with us, but while also clearly communicating what we believe and why we believe it. Because we believe that some truth is absolute. It's not all relative and subjective. That's sometimes what our postmodern society would tell us, isn't it? But some truth is absolute and objective, and we find ourselves defending that in our modern culture. We'll say we'll need to understand what it is that we believe and explain it to others. For example, Jesus is the only Lord and Saviour. There's only one name under heaven by which we must be saved, Peter preached in the Acts of the Apostles. No one can come to know God as Father except through Jesus, he himself said in John's Gospel. So there are some truths that stand, they're absolute, they're non-negotiable. And here's the paradox: the more secure we are in those truths, the less obnoxious and contentious we are when we explain them to others. If it's a settled truth in us, if we're sure about it, then it's a truth that upholds us rather than a truth that we have to uphold. Preacher C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, local lad from here, he said, defend the Bible, I'd rather defend a lion. Just turn the Bible loose, it will defend itself. He's right, the Bible will defend itself. But we need to be confident enough in it to be able to talk about it and explain it without heat and without aggression. And if people take offence, it should be at the gospel truth itself rather than at the way that we speak about Jesus or talk to non-Christians. Now, we know, of course, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. And grace is more than just graciousness, but it does include it. And without graciousness in the way that we present the gospel, truth can appear arrogant and abrasive and repellent rather than attractive. John Coles says this, I think it's a very good little soundbite: people don't care how much we know. What they want to know is how much we care. People don't care how much we know. What they want to know is how much we care. And some Bible-believing Christians keep on sort of throwing truth at people, almost wanting to demonstrate their knowledge and so on. And it can come across as judgmental, so that people who are seeking faith can find the truth of the gospel repulsive. So alongside the explanation of truth, we need to love people. We can do that by praying for people when they're sick, or helping them in their financial troubles, or backing them up when they're victims of injustice. But caring for people wins hearts for Jesus. Of course, there are lots of different opinions, aren't there? Especially amongst Christians. And we want to be honest about that. There is diversity. But we must remember that our fellow Christians are always our brothers and sisters and never our enemies. So even if we disagree with people, we need to learn to speak and act kindly and graciously, whether it's towards Christians or to those who aren't yet believers. Jesus said, love one another. We've been singing that, haven't we? Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus even said, love your enemies. That's tough, isn't it? Paul reminds us that while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. So we need to show that same generosity of love. I remember Michael Bourne speaking once. He was Bishop of Chester at the time. And he said that many Christians tend to go overboard, either with grace or with truth. Some people, for example, are just totally lovely people. They're loving and caring and warm and cuddly and fuzzy and full of grace. But if you ask them questions about God, what it is they believe and so on, very hard to get a clear answer. And you end up wondering whether they actually believe anything at all. Other people are very, very focused on God's word and on the teaching and on doctrinal truth. And they can give you an answer on almost any question that you ask. Very black and white with chapter and verse and so on. But the trouble is they argue with you and with each other. And very few people come to faith from that. Because nobody actually finds that kind of faith very nice or attractive. And Michael Bourne said, what we really need is both. A balance of grace and truth. Well, G&T, he said, they're very posh in Chester. He said, what we need is G&T Christians, both grace and truth. And that's actually what New Wine is saying with this pair of values. I found it so memorable, I've remembered it to this day. We need G&T Christians, grace and truth. What do those words actually mean? Well, grace describes God's initiative, God's action towards the world, always overflowing with generosity and love. Some people have made a sort of mnemonic out of it, either a God reaching all Christians everywhere. In other words, God's riches are available to all. They're extensive. They're universal. Whoever you are, God's grace reaches out to you. Alternatively, some people have said God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, forgiveness and salvation and all the blessings of eternal life through the work of Jesus as he died on the cross. We talk about someone being graceful, don't we? Perhaps a lady or a ballet dancer, meaning she moves elegantly. And we also talk about people being gracious. In other words, courteous and generous, which is perhaps a bit closer to what we mean by grace here. Ask yourself, do I live that kind of life? Am I graceful? Or is there something perhaps that the Lord could do to hone my character and my life, my behaviour? Lord, give us more of your grace so that we can let that flow out to those around us. And then again, how about truth? Truth can be quite a simple choice sometimes. Mark Twain quipped, just tell the truth, then you don't have to remember what you've said. I like that. Because it's true, isn't it, that if you tell a different story to each person, then you have to remember what you've said to each person. And you have to think, now hang on, am I going to tie myself up in knots here? Whereas if you just tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything because you've told it straight each time. But truth is not merely an intellectual statement. If we live with integrity, then truth is my whole lifestyle. James, in his epistle, said, true religion is this, to care for widows and orphans in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So there's another question. Am I caring for the poor and the vulnerable? Am I someone who is trustworthy? Have I kept myself from the stain of compromise with the world's values? Am I the sort of person in whom truth shines out? In Philippians, Paul says, whatever is true, think on these things. Scripture, of course, is our guide, isn't it? But we can seek out true and good things in the world around us, and we can support those things. Examples might be third world projects that benefit the poor, microfinance like Kiva, or ethical banking projects, the Co-op, for example, or Triodos Bank. Or something I've discovered several years ago now, the Forgiveness Project. Not a Christian thing, started by a journalist in London, but just telling stories of people forgiving their enemies. Stunning stories. They take an exhibition around called the F Word, and it's a superb exhibition. You see people standing there reading these stories, just weeping, you know, wishing that they had that grace to forgive. If we see these projects and these things that are good and truthful, then let's give praise where praise is due and not be mealy-mouthed. How about Jesus himself? Well, our reading from John's Gospel that Jane read, it's actually the only place where those words, grace and truth, occur together in Scripture, and they occur twice in that reading. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's actually the first time in John's Gospel that the name Jesus Christ is mentioned there in verse 17. So he is the embodiment of these things, grace and truth. When his enemies accused him, he always responded truthfully. Occasionally he asked people not to broadcast who he was in order to give him more time to proclaim the kingdom without being arrested. But eventually, when the high priest questioned him whether he was the Christ, he answered carefully and truthfully. No one ever accused him of falsehood. But his life was also a demonstration of God's grace to mankind. Generous, self-giving, caring, forgiving, and loving. What might that actually mean for us? How might we be gracious and truthful? Like many of these values, at times they appear to be in opposition, don't they? There may be times perhaps when we think telling the truth might seem ungracious. When a lady asks, you know, how do I look in this? You know, you may need to pray quite hard to think, well, now how do I actually respond to that? But seriously, I think both those qualities are a matter of taking care to be godly, living our lives in a way that reflects our Lord. He was truthful, and yet he was gracious as well. What would Jesus say? What would he do? That's what Peter is saying in the reading that Helen read to us. How would Jesus live? What would he do? He was both truthful and also gracious. And we're called to live lives like that too. With our families and with our close friends, it's quite tough, isn't it, at times? Even Jesus' family didn't accuse him of sin. We may be tested hard. Jane and I often tell couples getting married that marriage provides so many opportunities to forgive. It does, doesn't it? You get more chances to practice these Christian virtues and graces. And in work or business too. There are times when the pressure is on, isn't it? And you think, well, it's going to be hard here to be truthful and to be gracious. Ask yourself, are those two things in balance in my life? Am I being both truthful and gracious? Is there perhaps something that the Lord can do for me today? Some way in which God can change my life and make me more like Jesus? So the tension here between gracious and truthful, godly values, both of them, and they're best of all together. So let's cultivate them, let's embrace them as God-given, to be gracious and truthful, to be truthful and gracious. Amen.